This is WLRN Connects, a new program on the air on Mondays in June. We're also streaming live during the 9 a.m. hour on the WLRN Facebook page. I'm Nancy Klingener.
Hey, Nan. I'm Tom Hudson. You know, this program is a virtual gathering spot to connect and have conversations about what concerns you across South Florida. Now, you know, Nan, these are conversations that, you know, we usually had around coffee shops, maybe over cocktails. But because of COVID-19, you know, we're all keeping our distance.
Except, what's the impact when your survival depends on getting together? That's what the Keys is facing, Tom. The Keys have had a love-hate relationship with tourism. The love is because it's our primary industry. It's responsible for almost half the jobs. And just for some context, more than 5 million people came to the Keys as tourists in 2018. That's for a county with a population of 75,000. So we're up there with places like Venice and Barcelona. For every person who calls the Keys home, there are about 65 tourists. Though, of course, that's not all at once.
Yeah, thankfully it's not all at once, right? But even spread out over 12 months, that is a heck of a lot of people crowded in to the island chain. You know, for more than 2 months, no visitors at all were welcome in the Florida Keys. Back in late March, the Keys put that checkpoint up on the two roads to the islands, banning everyone except for residents and essential visitors from coming in. The cruise ships by that time had already stopped coming into Key West. That happened back in mid-March, and they have yet to return. The checkpoint, though, that came down earlier this month. The hotels have reopened for business. So what does this new normal look for the Florida Keys? Is it going to eventually be a lot like the old normal with its reliance on tourism? Maybe you visited the Keys in the last 3 weeks or so since the checkpoint was removed. Tell us about those experiences. Do you feel welcomed in the Keys? If you live in the Keys, are you welcoming back with open virtual arms the tourists and the visitors? Connect with us now live during this 9 a.m. hour. A couple of different ways to do it. On the telephone, 800-743-WLRN. Join our conversation, 800-743-9576. We're also streaming live during this 9 a.m. hour on the WLRN Facebook page.
We're going to start out in the Upper Keys today with Samantha and Tim Arce. Both work in tourism. Samantha's a bartender and Tim is a charter captain. And welcome to WLRN. I hope you're both doing okay.
Samantha and Tim, do we have you?
Yes, I'm sorry. We lost you there for a second. We're here.
How are you guys doing?
Very good. How about yourself?
We're doing well. We're doing well. So tell me how long you've been in the Keys and whether you've always worked in tourism.
Well, we were both born here, and my husband's been here
fifth generation.
And I've worked at the same restaurant in Tavernier for the last 15 years, and he's been a boat captain since he graduated high school down here and started fishing here when he was a kid. So we are lifetimers.
Can you describe what your lives were like a year ago or even a few months ago, say, in January or February, before the pandemic?
Bustling.
Yeah, we were definitely in a different place this time last year, business-wise, and we own a charter boat business, and I'm a bartender, and, I mean, it's definitely changed. My husband lost, you know, most of his tarpon season, which accounts for about half of our yearly income, and It's definitely changed a lot of things.
I know you said locals kept your place of work going during the shutdown.
Yeah.
Is that most of the business you get there, or do you get a lot of tourists there too?
We are very lucky to sustain during the slow season at where I work because of the fact that we do have such a local, you know, devoted local clientele. But we, you know, like everywhere, we certainly do rely on, you know, the tourists equally as much. So it definitely made an impact, but I was lucky enough to be a restaurant that stayed open to do to-go and deliveries while, you know, we were shut down. So that was, you know, crucial into keeping our family afloat.
Samantha, it's Tom. What was that like during those weeks, 2.5 months of the checkpoint in place? And it was locals only.
It was locals only, which, I mean, some people, it was kind of refreshing in a sense, you know, for the locals in some days. But then it was hard. It was definitely hard because there's only so many times a week people are going to eat at the same restaurant or take out from the same restaurant. So it certainly was a hit to our income and the restaurant's income. And, I mean, it was a difficult situation. But luckily, like I said, it was something, which there were so many people that didn't even have that option. So, you know, I was happy that we had the business at all, but it was certainly not the same amount of business that we're used to having.
And Tim, you've got your first booking this week, right? Are you hearing from clients who want to come back to the Keys?
I'm hearing from lots of clients that want to come back. Everybody's just a little scared. They're watching the news and seeing the numbers go up in South Florida, and they're a little hesitant to travel. But the phone is ringing. There's heavy interest. Everybody's just being very safe and being very guarded. It's probably the smart thing to do. The book is definitely filling up, which is nice. And we're starting the marina as a whole. The boats are definitely seeing an increase in the uptick, but we're into dolphin season now, and that's a busy time of year for us guides and offshore guides as well.
Have you seen any changes on the water since the pandemic started?
Yes, ma'am. I don't want to blame everything on cruise ships, but it has been definitely a noticeable lack of debris and trash in the water out in the Gulf Stream. And it could be purely coincidence, but it's pretty staggering how much less garbage we're seeing offshore. It's really refreshing.
Tim and Samantha, hold with us. Cesar in Pembroke Pines is with us here on WLRN Connects. He's joined the conversation. Cesar, thanks for calling in. Tell us about your Keys experience.
No, I was just there this past weekend, Father's Day weekend, and it was actually a great experience. People were very welcoming. We were told that the hotel was at 50% capacity. It felt nice. Everybody was taking safety measures. Restaurants that we went to eat and dine in, they were all respecting those safety measures, you know, masks, also the shops, diving shops. It was great. It felt like before, people were very welcoming, and you could tell that they really wanted you to feel good, and they were eager to do business with you. And I saw a lot of people, I think a lot of people were missing the Keys as well, not just the Keys missing people, but the people were missing the Keys.
Where in the Keys were you, Cesar?
So I was in Marathon and Lime Tree Resort. Sorry, I don't know if I can tell that.
No, sure.
It's all right. You just did.
Okay. But it was a great experience again. I had a great weekend. The water was great. We did some snorkeling, some kayaking, also wave runner. So it was great, man. The people there, we love it.
It's great to hear.
Yeah. Thanks, Cesar, for joining us. Appreciate you adding your voice here. 800-743-WLRN. Join our conversation here talking about the Keys. A couple of months into the pandemic, well, a couple of weeks into the pandemic, the checkpoint was put in place. That's been removed now. Visitors, welcome back. Cesar just down for Father's Day weekend, 800-743-9576. And Nan, you and I were trading messages over the weekend, and you mentioned to me about how crowded the overseas highway was.
Yeah, I got one of those traffic alerts on my phone from the sheriff's office about heavy southbound bumper-to-bumper traffic, just like we get all the time during season and on holiday weekends. And I'm curious to hear from Samantha and Tim about what it's like to live in the Upper Keys where, you know, the highway is your artery for everything. You know, I have friends who live up there who say they basically feel housebound during weekends.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been, as you know, as much as I miss people, and believe me, our entire life is, you know, reliant on tourists being here. But when we could turn left out of our neighborhood for 2 months without waiting for 15 minutes, it's definitely went back to not being able to do that anymore. But the traffic this weekend was a lot. But that's, you know, it's good for us. We need it. We need you guys. We need everybody coming back. But, you know, it's a weird situation we're in because we still want to be cautious, but we still, you know, we want to get back to our lives. And it's just such a hard reality to figure out which is, you know, outweighs the other.
Okay. We're joined now by Sandy Moret from Florida Keys Outfitters in Isla Mirada. Sandy, how's it going for you?
It's going.
Still here?
It's going. It's coming along. We were crushed, of course. Our sales, there was no one here except our residents We stayed open the whole time because fishing is pretty essential in the Keys, and a lot of the captains needed supplies for tying flies and things that they needed when they had charters for their local residents. And now it's come back. The sales, product sales in the store have picked up, and we had a nice group come through, and everybody's wearing their face masks. We had required face masks, and of course the county went ahead and confirmed that as required face masks in public places, and I'm very comfortable with that. So business has come back. One of the things that we encountered was actually we were overwhelmed with visitors the first 2 weeks that we opened up. And we really have an ongoing problem in the Florida Keys in that we sometimes have more demand than the resource is capable of satisfying.
Yeah, I saw some reports that the fills got filled up again, that long causeway between Lower and Upper Matecumbe Keys, which has been a sore point for a long time. And last year, I think the Village of Isle Mirada sort of took control over that to get a handle on the parking and the trash. How's that been going since the reopening?
Well, I think this weekend was fine. There was an outcry, a local outcry about it a week or so ago, and the village said they fell down on it, and our village council members had the staff put the cones up and restrict the parking the way it was supposed to be, and enforced it this weekend, and it made a huge difference. It makes a difference in the quality of the flow of traffic. And the enjoyment of the experience, people coming to the Keys. It's one thing when you go down to Lower Matecumbe or you're up in Tavernier and you try to come to Isle Mirada for lunch or to go shopping, and it takes 2 hours.
Right.
So that's really not what the Keys are all about. And then you have people passing each other and cutting each other off, and that. You know, we're supposed to take it easy down here.
Right.
It's hard to do. Sandy and Tim and Samantha, I got a question for each of you. As the Keys has reopened here in June, the folks who are visiting, where are they visiting from? Do you get a sense of if these are folks from Dade or Broward, Palm Beach County, other places in Florida, or are they coming in from elsewhere, Sandy?
We're seeing everywhere. We're seeing people come. We're catching the tail end of our tarpon season, which is world famous for fly fishermen. And people are coming from everywhere, Texas, the West Coast, Europe. People are coming everywhere for the tail end of that. And, of course, we have a lot of what we refer to as the day trippers that come from Dade and Broward and come down on on Friday. They were overnighting at the fill, and that was not helping our local situation, and really wasn't providing a good experience for the people who were visiting.
Yeah, Tim Arce is a charter captain. Tim, you mentioned earlier your book is starting to fill up again. Your calendar's filling up. Where are the fishermen coming from?
Tell you what, I'm getting a lot on the weekends from Dade, Broward County. And through the weekdays, we're getting our out-of-state travelers that are coming down for the summer vacations. I've got folks in from Indiana, Ohio, New Jersey, New York in the coming weeks. I would say we're almost back to a regular summer family vacation program here, which is really great to see.
Yeah, and in the restaurant, I would definitely say we do have a lot of our, Dade and Broward that start coming in the summer regardless, and I think we're seeing a lot more of it because Dade is still under so many restrictions. But we're definitely seeing out of country and out of state visitors as well.
So would you like to go back to where we were before the pandemic in terms of our tourism industry? Or if not, what kind of changes would you like to see?
Oh, I mean, of course, we all want to go back to where we were before. But like I said earlier, it's just we still have to be cautious at this time, especially with Florida having so many more cases every day. You know, it's a hard question to answer, because of course I want it to go back, but how much more caution do we need to, you know, continue using? And I don't know quite exactly how to answer that, because of course it's what you want, but then at the same time, we can't forget that there's still something going on out there.
And it's funny, when I'm getting calls from customers, the first question for 20 years has been, how's the fishing? And the last few months, it's, how are you guys doing down there? How's the economy? Are you guys going to be able to make it? And, you know, so customers from out of town are certainly recognizing the hardships that we're facing here with being totally tourism reliant.
Yeah.
So people are cognizant of it, which is nice to see.
And Sandy, how about you? Would you like to see us go back to, you know, the old normal, or do you think there's a new normal we should be aiming for?
Well, I think we're all in for a new normal. I think the old school, the old traditions in the country and globally are going to be changing. I don't think there's any way we can ignore it. You can't wall the place off. You can't restrict people from travel. One person comes on a plane and they come in to town or go to what other town, and you have some outbreaks. The world is changing, and the only way we're going to combat this is cooperation, science, bringing the science to the forefront, coming up with some way to hopefully prevent it, some way to cure it once it occurs, and it's going to take scientific community.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Sandy and Samantha and Tim, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yep. Florida Keys has battled hurricanes, sea level rise, and now COVID-19, the coronavirus. This is what we're talking about. Connect with us. Join our conversation here. How the tourism business touches everyone's work and life in the Florida Keys. That's still to come. What's your connection to the island chain? 800-743-WLRN, a visitor, a resident, former resident, a soon-to-be visitor, 800-743-9576. And you can also join us where we're streaming live video on WLRN's Facebook page in this 9 a.m. hour.
Key West is the place to be if you're looking for immortality. Stay on the road, follow the highway. Key West is fine and fair. If you lost your mind, you'll find it there. Key West is on the horizon line.
Welcome back to WLRN Connects. I'm Nancy Klingener from the Southernmost Bureau at the studios of Key West.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Today we're talking about the Florida Keys, a place that has inspired artists for generations, including Bob Dylan, who you just heard there releasing this new song on his new album this month. Nan, we may want to fact check that line, though. If you've lost your mind, you'll find it there in Key West.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've heard that particular angle before.
Right.
So, yeah, the Keys have did pause their biggest business, tourism, for a couple months because of the pandemic, and now it's reopening. But with rules like wearing a mask in public, the county's ordinance that they approved last week says anywhere with a roof over it. It's ironic in a place with anything goes reputation that mandates people wear masks for the next year.
Yeah, so that's what we want to talk about. Connect and join our conversation live in this 9 a.m. hour. If you live in the Keys, are you wearing that mask when you're under a roof? If you're visiting, will you abide by the pandemic rules in a place that, you know, has a reputation to try to flaunt rules? That's part of the lure of visiting the Keys, perhaps. Share your story. Join us. 800-743-WLRN. 800-743-9576. We're also streaming live video in the 9 a.m. hour on WLRN's Facebook page.
Joy Newlish is the IT director for Monroe County Schools and a conk. So here's the deal. You're only a conk if you're born here. So those of you who have stayed, like Joy, have seen a lot of us come and go and a lot of development and other changes to the island. So welcome, Joy. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
You don't work in tourism, but you know obviously how much money it brings to the local economy, like the sales taxes that help pay for the school's operating expenses, right? And the hotels and the bars and events that help support a lot of locals. How do you view tourism and the way that the Keys sell themselves?
Well, I love Key West, and I love for everyone to come and visit. I mean, I get it. That's why I'm still here. But I think that there's an opportunity now to make sure that we're slowing down a bit. Maybe not as slow as when I was a kid, right? But taking this opportunity to make sure that the experience is valuable. And not about the numbers, but the quality experience that everyone has. And that's what I hope that we get out of this pandemic is that we slow down a bit and enjoy the quality time.
How is your life touched by tourism?
Well, from a work standpoint, certainly our property values and half-cent sales tax goes directly to the school. So a lot of what we're able to do for our students is related to tourism. Individually, you know, I have many friends and family members that rely on the tourist industry for their income. So, you know, indirectly and directly impacted by tourism.
Do you think most tourists get a feel for the real Key West, or is it just kind of like a Duval Street amusement park?
Well, that's a good question. I think depending on how they get here and how long they stay is the experience they have. And that's certainly one of the topics of conversation lately is the cruise industry and what that looks like now or pre-COVID and post-COVID, and the opportunity for us to, as a city, to look at how we measure success, right? You know, is it the number of tourists we have, or is it the number of homeowners we have? Is it the size of the ships or the health of our oceans, right? Because
right.
We have a lot of business owners and teachers and nurses that can't afford to buy a home here. Our reefs are hurting right now. So when we talk about the tourist industry being such an integral part of our economy, we need to look at that and make sure that those dollars are balanced. And looking at how we measure success is really important. And I think we can reevaluate that, and there's an opportunity to do it. We did that when we shifted to online learning during the pandemic, and looking at ways how does school come back? What does school look like in the fall? I think we need to do the same thing as a city. What does the tourist industry look like, and how do we want our visitors to experience Key West?
Joy, it's Tom Hudson. I imagine that shift to online learning meant some early mornings and long nights for you in information technology for the school system in Monroe County. We've got Shocker on their way to work in the Middle Keys in Marathon. Shocker, thanks for connecting with us here on WLRN. You're on the radio.
My pleasure. Yeah, I'm sitting on the bridge right before Conkey. I think this bridge is about a mile and a half long, or a mile long. And they've been sitting here for the last 30 minutes. But that's like life in the Keys due to an accident.
Yeah. And so what has the past 3 weeks been like, and Shocker, compare that to your personal life and your professional life in April and May when the Keys were essentially closed.
Well, it's been mixed because all of us, including myself, we were furloughed from our jobs, but we knew at some point it was going to come back. Me being the manager, I kept working through all the preparation, even though we weren't getting paid. And then we opened up when the government let us, and we were so happy that now we were going to welcome back all the customers, but then the roadblock was on, so the only customers were local, who we love, and over here it's all about friendship, and you know, you go to your regular bar, and you know everyone there, not just one or two, so it was great. And I live in Isla Mirada. Currently I work in Marathon, managing a restaurant, so it's great. great. Now that the road is open, my question was, we love the tourists. Obviously, we thrive on it. What would it take? Most people are very, very good about it, but some people just insist on not wearing a mask, trying to make it an issue. And we understand there's different feelings about it, but if we mandate it in certain places, they have a choice. They can either go to that place and follow the rules or go to another place. But every so often we get people, yes, the silliest thing I hear is, oh, yeah, am I required to wear a mask after following 5 signs that say please wear your mask, and then saying, oh, I have a mask in my pocket.
At least they have one.
But doing it in your pocket isn't providing any protection for you or anybody else.
Yeah, at this point, we are concerned about the health of our employees as much as the other customers.
Well, yeah, but of course, when people are seated and eating, they don't have to wear a mask because you can't wear a mask while you're eating or drinking, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically what it boils down to is if you leave your table on your way in, on your way out, or at any time you leave your table to use the restroom or say hello to someone else at another table or old friend, you just have to wear your mask. And then once you sit back down, assuming you're with your own group who you live with or are very, very close with, so you don't have to wear the mask when you're sitting down eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And, but the tables are definitely more than 6 feet apart because we have a lot of outdoor space over here. Obviously, everybody knows we have waterfront restaurants abundance over here. So there's plenty of outdoor space where we could move everything far enough apart but still have full volume business.
Shocker, I appreciate you adding that perspective, joining our conversation. A restaurant manager on his way to work in Marathon here connecting with us today live in this 9 a.m. hour. You can join us, 800-743-9576. You live in the Keys, you visit the Keys. What's that experience been like during the pandemic? 800-743-WLRN.
And now we're being joined by another longtime Key Wester who is in the tourism industry, Kate Miano, who owns the Gardens Hotel. Kate, how are you doing today?
I'm doing groovy, thank you.
One thing I've really noticed, especially over the last decade, is the huge growth in second homes, some of which are used for monthly vacation rentals, and some are just empty a lot of the time. The county's vacancy percentage when they were doing their hurricane evacuation studies jumped from 32% in 2000 to 44% in 2010. That's about where it was the last time it was measured. So that's close to half our housing units that just aren't available for people who live and work here, no matter what their cost. What does that mean for the social fabric of the community and for you as an employer who's trying to hold on to your staff?
It's one of the biggest issues, and I think it's been an issue for probably at least 50 years. There really isn't affordable housing here. I'm fortunate enough that I do have some employee housing that I'm able to provide at really discounted rates for some of my employees. But that's an issue that is kind of unanswerable. How do you create affordable housing? And the city has tried, the city has done some things, but it's negligible how many units are available for people who are the worker bees here in Key West. It's tough.
Would you like to see the Keys go back to the levels of tourism we had before the pandemic? And if not, what kind of changes are you looking for?
Well, I am very interested in seeing the change, and I'm praying that the referendum on cruise ships and going to smaller, safer cruise ships goes through this November. I think it will. I think that it's going to be a long time for big cruise ships to come back here. The citizens of Key West, I'm sure you know this, in 2013 voted overwhelmingly, I think it was 74%, voted against us dredging our harbor to allow super ships to come in here. The big ships count for more than 50% of our visitors, but they really don't contribute much at all to our economy. And, you know, a few people profit dearly from that. But the majority of residents, I don't think, do. And I think people are absolutely looking for change. We welcome people to come to Key West, but we also have to protect our environment. And the reason people do come here, when a big part of that, is our water. Again, I've talked to a lot of people, and they're all saying, wow, have you been out on the water? I'm supposed to go fishing late this afternoon. because it's really changed. It's improving when we don't have this big ship coming in here. Our harbor's like, I think, 27, 28 feet deep, and most of the ships that are coming in here have a draft of 25, 26 feet. So they stir up a lot of silt. It's restoring our reef, and that is one of the things we pride ourselves on. We're an island. We're supposed to have nice water surrounding us.
Joy, let me get your perspective from the school systems about the issue with the vacation homes and the second homes and what that means for people who are trying to live and work here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing that we have. We're trying to recruit talented teachers to come to the area, and for them to not be able to afford to stay is tough. So we have so many people that have two homes and so many people that have two jobs, right?
Right.
So there has to be a balance there. And when we lose good talent to the mainland because they couldn't afford to live here, that's a shame. And we pay our teachers well in Monroe County.
Right. I think best in the state. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's an imbalance there. And it's really important that the city take a look at that piece. In order for us to continue to provide our students with the best education, we want the best educators. And when we can't afford to keep them here, that's a tough haul. And not to mention our students that are graduating here, we want them to, you know, go on to a higher education and be able to come back and stay in this community. And that's at risk as well. So we've got a lot of questions to be asking ourselves, and now is a good time to ask those questions, to have good conversation. Why it's, you know, it's a little slower, a little quieter. I think people are open to conversation. We don't all have the answers, but through good conversation, I think we can get to a point where we do different. And again, I go back to how we measure success. What's really important to us? Now's the time to be asking those questions.
Kate, you are a former queen of Fantasy Fest, right?
Oh, yes, I am.
Do you think we should be having Fantasy Fest this year? It's hard to imagine people staying at a safe social distance in those circumstances.
Well, that's a tough one. Yeah, it certainly affects my business, but I think that most likely it shouldn't happen this year, or if it does, on a very, very limited basis. I don't know how you do a virtual Fantasy Fest. But
I don't think I want to know, actually.
No. it's a tough one. You know, I'm all about, it's not about me. It's about the community I live in. And I think there is no way we can have that amount of people social distancing during an event. Although a lot of the events are outside, a lot of them are also held indoors and in bars that are associated with Fantasy Fest. I'd sure like to see at least the locals parade on Friday night.
Yeah,
that's the most fun.
Kate, it's fun.
It's Tom. Kate, as a hotel, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
As a hotel owner, would you have ever thought you would have just said you probably shouldn't hold a Fantasy Fest in Key West?
No, I never would have thought that.
Right?
You know, but again, there's no way it can be using social distance. I did speak with someone associated with A.H. Monroe County, who directly benefits from the Fantasy Fest King and Queen candidates, because we do that to raise money for A.H. Monroe County.
And it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? It's their biggest fundraiser.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's grueling. I don't recommend it to an old person to do that. It's a grueling six-week campaign, and when I was running, I think I did 30 parties in that period of time, which required just a whole lot of energy. And I don't have that anymore. I'm thankful that I made it, because I would never do it again. not to discourage anybody that wants to run. But this year, they're planning on not doing a King and Queen per se, but the King and Queen, former Kings and Queens, try to raise money for five different charities.
Yeah.
Which,
wow,
I think is a good idea. Yeah, they're not just doing it for AH. I think Wesley House, and I can't remember all the other ones that are going to benefit from the former Kings and Queens putting on events or small social gatherings or whatever, and try to raise some money that way.
Yeah, you know, the story just reminds us of how important and how in the DNA of the Keys tourism is, and how it touches all aspects. Joy, from your work in information technology with the school district, and the taxes associated to it, and Kate, just even fundraising for nonprofits around tourist events. Kate, I'm wondering, at the Gardens Hotel, how is the experience, how's the visitor experience changed since you've reopened?
Well, you know, we're doing all the guidelines that are out there. We have to take their temperature upon arrival. However, we're still giving them a glass of champagne when they arrive, because we think that's important to calm people down. It takes a lot of work to get here for some folks. They are wearing masks, of course, at check-in. All of our staff wears masks. But most of our property, we have private entrances for all of our rooms. They all face outdoors, and everybody has a private outdoor patio area. So that makes it a real safe, I think, environment for people to be here and be outdoors. We're blessed in that. We're not like a typical hotel. And we have one of the largest land masses in Key West right downtown. So it's easier for people to social distance there. We've had to stop our Sunday jazz, which was very, very popular, because it's just really impossible for us to do a large group, because, you know, hundreds of people would show up for that. And we used to have nightly music in our cabaret bar, and we're only doing that two nights a week because people can't really sit in that area. Mm-hmm. We hide the music outdoors, so we've made some changes. But the guest experience, and gosh, we are so lucky. We have so many repeat guests, and people are loving it. You know, it's great to see a lot of the familiar faces that have stayed with us over the years coming back. I'm thrilled to see them. Trust me. Mm. After 2.5 months with no income, it was pretty drastic.
Yeah,
that's great to hear. Well, thank you, Kate, for joining us, and thank you as well, Joy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the conversation here on WLRN Connects. The Keys is what we're talking about, 800-743-9576. It's been mentioned already this hour about the cruise ships in Key West. Those stopped in mid-March. The cruise industry is still officially docked. Thousands of visitors each day would get to Key West because of the cruise ship industry. Will the ships be welcome back when they start sailing again? 800-743-WLRN to join our conversation. 800-743-9576.
Key West is under the sun, under the radar, under the gun. You stay to the left, and then you lean to the right. Feel the sunlight on your skin, and the healing virtues of the wind. Key West is the land of light.
Welcome back to WLRN Connects. I'm Nancy Klingener from the Southernmost Bureau at the studios of Key West.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Today we're talking about Key West and all of the Florida Keys. You just heard a new song from Bob Dylan. You know, Nan, maybe not the one that you would think about singing about Key West, but it just shows the pull of paradise for the Florida Keys, that Bob Dylan would be singing the praises of Key West in his new album here in 2020. You can share your story with us. The phone lines are open, 800-743-9576. We're also streaming live video during the 9 a.m. hour on the WLRN Facebook page.
While the Keys were closed to visitors, there was a lot of discussion on Facebook about reimagining the tourism industry after COVID-19. And there was a petition drive that got enough signatures so that in November, Key West voters will decide whether to limit the size and capacity of cruise ships that call in the island, and also whether to prioritize those ships by their health and safety records. Key West gets about 2 million visitors a year, and somewhere around half of those are getting here by cruise ship. It's nowhere close to half the economic value of tourism, but it is important to some businesses. Sopeya No and her husband own Blue Sophia Jewelry. So welcome, Sopeya, and thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
So how much do you rely on the cruise ship industry?
Basically, I would say more than half.
So what's it like for your business right now when the Keys are open but there are no cruise ships?
Well, I would say that right now, in this moment, I probably, I only have like 30%, something like that, not even, beside the cruise ship, so.
And what do you think of this referendum? If we had fewer but smaller ships and but people spent more money, do you think that could work, or that people who stay in hotels might be more willing to come spend more time on Duval Street?
Of course, it's all possible, but the whole thing is, they both have to be equally out. I do understand for, someone who comes stay in town, they have spend more money and thing like that. But it's not only that, it's just like, on the cruise ship also, they have like a high-end class and, a family size. So basically, all of those are spread the money all around the key the same way,
And you've got other businesses around you. What are you hearing from, your neighbors and friends in the business?
It's bad. So for example, I have a few friends. They own like a $5 store, a souvenir store, and then also one, it's right next door to me. It's the Amico restaurant and thing like that. Basically, their business is all like, 70% based on the cruise ship also. So it's really, really make it a lot of different, for all the cruise ship to coming in. And I do understand that, we can go with the smaller size and more, they spend more money and things like that. And of course it's work too, but we have to see, is that balance it out?
Is there anything you'd really like people to know about the cruise ship business for those of us who don't work downtown with tourists every day?
Well, the thing about the cruise ship, they just come a couple of hours, they enjoy the round the area, the Wall Street, Green Street, museum, walk around, and then by the end of the day, they all going back. So basically, I don't see any effect from whoever does not work close to the Wall Street area or something like that, why would bother them? I mean, they just come, spend the money, and of course, a lot of people work there. It all depends on those, Yes, go ahead.
So, Pei, it's Tom. Thanks for joining us. One of the criticisms about the cruise ships is more even about the ships themselves and the effect on the marine environment. Yeah, people kind of complain about crowds of tourists there around the dock and in Old Town Key West and those areas. But what about the marine effect?
The marine effect, can you?
Well, so for instance, we heard folks even earlier in this program talk about how they're seeing less trash in the Gulf Stream with the cruise ships docked, or just cleaner water in and around the port.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm so sorry because I probably do not know more about those part because, so something that I don't particularly know, I rather not to say anything because something that I don't really reach out there to.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. But how do you, as a business person who relies on those cruise ship passengers, at least have in the past, how do you hear those concerns about the natural environment?
I'm pretty sure they know how to take care of that because the cruise ship is not just started yesterday, right? They have been doing that for a little while. And then is any change between that? I don't see any change between that. And I'm pretty sure, all the environment and things like that, I do understand they really, I would love to protect and everything. I respect that too. But besides, we have to deal with it. But lately, I did not hear anything bad about that.
Okay. Thank you, Sopeya. And I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your perspective with us.
Thank you.
Now we're going to be joined by two people who have businesses downtown. Kristen Onderdonk has a couple restaurants in Key West, and Paul Menta, who has a rum distillery right there in the Cruise Ship Central area as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Kristen, you have three restaurants in Key West. One's a longtime landmark, Antonia's, and the others are more recent. How are you doing?
Hey there, Nancy. How are you? We're hanging in there. That seems to be the answer.
How reliant are you on the tourism industry? I know all those restaurants are popular with locals, which is important, especially if you're not right on Duval Street.
Sure, of course. That's absolutely always been our top priority. I mean, our locals are, you know, we've really been blessed to gain our success through the support of our locals during season and off season, and during this whole quarantine. They stuck with us. I mean, business has picked up. We're still significantly down, of course. Unfortunately, we're getting a lot of kind of disrespect. A lot of the tourists right now are being very difficult, very disobedient, disrespectful. It's just kind of hard right now after what our staff has gone through to keep us at the utmost, you know, safety and, you know, our reputation and everything. And it's hard right now. It definitely
when you say disrespectful, you mean they're not wearing masks or not staying, you know,
yes,
a safe distance?
Yes. Definitely both, you know, both, all of the above. I mean, we're doing these screenings, temperature screenings at the door, requiring, you know, masks for entry, and just get a lot of pushback and a lot of, unfortunately, kind of bad attitude has sort of been the overall feedback, unfortunately, in the past couple of weeks since we've opened back up to tourism, honestly. So it's difficult, but we'll
yeah. And Paul, you have a rum distillery right downtown, not far from where the cruise ships dock. And what are you seeing?
I mean, good morning, guys. I'm very close to where the cruise ships come in at. I mean, we see people when they're in town walking by, be it briskly or not. And we're right down by where it's affected. I'd just like to bring up a couple of points. You know, as a business, and that's how I'm speaking today, we are for tourism. Of course, we want tourism. We function in Key West off of that. We also function off the local businesses. But as businesses, we've been forced to pivot or adjust right now. A lot of this slowdown, without the cruise ships being mentioned, is also due to COVID. We have a lot of just Florida residents driving in. You have to remember, we're losing all of our international travelers, which are huge for me. My Julys, June, July, and August are actually huge down here because of the international traveling and the people going around. And I will give it to a point, like the other lady had said it earlier. The cruise ships are in town, and she said they're very quickly, because that is a problem. They're here for a very short period of time. People coming in at 7 a.m., getting off the ship at 8 a.m., and then having to be back at the latest by 12, you know, they don't have enough time to see and spend in the town. I've been here long enough for the last 30 years that I see cruise ships we would look forward to when they would come in and spend the full day, because everybody would benefit this. And really, as a business, what I'm saying, I know there's all these different things up on the referendum and that people are going to vote on things. I'm a small business. I'm a mom and pop. I want to see the cruise ships, no matter if it's me, the small guy, or the cruise ships, the big guy, and I'm sure Kristen can verify this because I ate at her places as well. We, as businesses, have had to cut our capacity to keep people safe. We've had to ensure our staff safety, our customer safety. We're limited to people that we can bring in. We've had to really adjust. And we have to, as Kristen said, she's taking temperatures. The cruise ships are going to need to be held accountable. There are business coming into town. There should be accountability. And if there's cruise ships out there that are willing to do that, which I'm really hearing nothing about. There's a lot of private meetings.
All right. I'm sorry. So sorry to cut you off, Paul, but we're running out of time.
Sure.
But thank you so much for joining us, all of you who joined us today and all of you who are listening. And you can continue this conversation on our Facebook page if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. On the WLRN Facebook page and our Keys Facebook page as well. Peter Meritz is our technical director. Katie Lepre is our engagement editor. Polly Landis, our booking producer. Denise Royal helps with producing and answering the phones. I'm Tom Hudson.
I'm Nan Klingener.